Feedstock isn't half the cost of precision fermentation. Yield is the number that matters. Sugar is the one input in this industry with a published market price. Run it through GFI's own case study assumptions, and feedstock comes out at roughly a fifth of unit cost, not half, because at 0.13 grams of protein per gram of glucose, you are buying 7.7 kg of sugar per kilogram of product. From Life Mate Tech. Almost nothing in the precision fermentation cost stack is public. We have documented that at length, four techno-economic models in the whole literature, spanning under $20 per kilogram to $15,000 per kilogram, none of them sitting where the industry actually operates. There is one exception. The carbon feedstock, the sugar that goes into the tank, has a quoted market price published by two governments on a regular schedule. It is the only input in this industry a stranger can look up. So we looked it up and then we checked it against the assumption used in the leading published model. Two things came out of that. The first is that the widely repeated claim that feedstock accounts for around half of production cost does not survive contact with the sources. On the Good Food Institute's own case study assumptions, feedstock works out at roughly 19% of unit cost for a food-grade protein, and under 5% for a high-purity one. The second is that the price of sugar is not really the variable that matters. The yield is. Methodology and limits. Three limits govern everything below, and they should be read before the numbers. You're comparing a sucrose price to a glucose assumption. The published government price series cover refined beet and cane sugar sucrose. The techno-economic models assume glucose or dextrose, which is produced from corn starch and tracks the corn market rather than the sugar market. USDA does publish a corn sweetener price series, but it is distributed as a spreadsheet we were not able to pass, and we are not going to substitute a vendor estimate for it. The sugar prices below are therefore an indication of the order of magnitude of industrial carbohydrate, not a like-for-like input price. Where that distinction changes a conclusion, we say so. We have not converted euros to dollars. We did not source an exchange rate for the relevant period, so the EU and US figures are presented in their own currencies and not compared arithmetically. The share of cost calculations are ours, derived from figures GFI publishes. GFI does not state a feedstock percentage in the form we give it. The derivation is shown in full so it can be checked or disputed. What sugar actually costs? The article includes a four-column table of series data here, which is easier to read on the page. Per ton conversions from cents per pound are ours, at 2,204.62 lb per ton. The gap in the middle of that table is the thing an operator should notice. In April 2026, the US domestic raw sugar contract sat at 34.81 cents per pound, while the world contract sat at 14.05. The domestic price roughly 2.5 times the world price, nor is that a one-month artifact. Over January to April 2026, the US hash 16 contract averaged 32.97 cents per pound. That gap is not a market anomaly. It is the operating result of the US sugar program, under which imports enter through tariff rate quotas with a much higher duty applying above the quota. We have not cited a figure for that over-quota duty because we could not source one from the documents used here. And it is worth noting that USDA's own import table shows substantial volumes still entering under the high-tier tariff, so it is not an absolute barrier. Practical consequence, where you cite a fermentation plant changes your carbohydrate bill before you have hired anyone. A plant inside the US tariff wall buys at the supported domestic price. A plant outside it buys at the world price. For a process consuming several kilograms of sugar per kilogram of product, that is not a rounding difference. The claim that feedstock is half the cost. This claim is everywhere, and we could trace it to exactly one source, an August 2025 Synthesis Capital post, which states that feedstock costs can easily make up over half of the total cost per kilogram of end product. No methodology, dataset or model is cited for the figure. The two nearest GFI published statements say something narrower and different. From GFI and Hawkwood Biotech's June 2000, and 25 review of 55 published techno-economic models. Feedstock, raw feedstock processing, and raw material costs were the primary COP drivers in just over half of the published models. That is a statement about how often feedstock ranks first across models, not about what proportion of cost it represents in any of them. The same report, describing a private single-cell protein case study using corn glucose at $0.40 per kilogram, states that feedstock costs and CapEx together make up 51% of COP. Feedstock and capital expenditure combined. Neither supports the claim that feedstock is half the cost. What they support is that feedstock is frequently the largest single line, a much weaker statement, and entirely compatible with feedstock being a fifth of the total. Working the numbers instead. GFI Europe and Arthur D. Little's July 2025 report models a food-grade alpha-lactalbumin case with two assumptions that can be combined. A substrate, glucose cost of $0.60 per kilogram, and a target yield on substrate of 0.13 grams per gram. It gives a unit cost of $24 per kilogram at food-grade purity, tilde 95%, and $100 per kilogram at high purity, 99%. At 0.13 grams of product per gram of substrate, 1 kilogram of protein requires 7.7 kilograms of glucose. At $0.60 per kilogram, that is $4.62 of feedstock per kilogram of product, which is 19% of the $24 per kilogram food-grade cost and 4.6% of the $100 per kilogram high-purity cost. The substrate and yield assumptions are identical across both purity tiers in GFI's model. Only the downstream processing differs. So on the most detailed public model available, feedstock is roughly one-fifth of a food-grade unit cost. And the difference between food-grade and high-purity, which is downstream processing, not sugar, is worth four times as much. Practical consequence: if you are trying to cut cost per kilogram in precision fermentation, negotiating a better sugar contract is one of the smaller levers available to you. Purification strategy and yield are much larger ones. Why yield not price is the variable. The yield figures in GFI and Hawkwood's model review are the most consequential numbers in this article, and they are strikingly wide. Process precision fermentation public models yield on feedstock 0.01 to 0.20 grams per gram, sugar per kg of product, 5 kilograms to 100 kilograms. Process precision fermentation private models yield on feedstock 0.03 to 0.17 grams per gram, sugar per kg of product, 5.9 kilograms to 33 kilograms. Process fungi continuous biomass fermentation yield on feedstock 0.3 to 0.5 grams per gram sugar per kg of product, 2 kilograms to 3.3 kilograms. Process yeast batch biomass fermentation yield on feedstock 0.5 and 0.65 grams per gram two models sugar per kg of product, 1.5 kilograms to 2 kilograms. Process microalgae batch yield on feedstock 0.28 grams per gram sugar per kg of product, 3.6 kilograms. Sugar per kilogram figures are hours, being the reciprocal of the yield. Read the top row against the bottom rows. At the pessimistic end of the published precision fermentation range, 0.01 grams per gram, a kilogram of product consumes 100 kilograms of glucose, which at $0.60 per kilogram is $60 of feedstock alone, more than twice the entire $24 per kilogram food-grade unit cost in GFI's own case study. At the optimistic end, 0.20 grams per gram, it consumes 5 kg and costs $3. That is the whole argument. The price of sugar moves within a band of roughly 2 to 3 times between the world market and the US domestic market. The yield moves within a band of 20 times. Feedstock cost is dominated by the biology, not by procurement. It also explains, without any further data, why biomass fermentation and precision fermentation have such different economics. A mycoprotein producer converting sugar at 0.3 to 0.5 grams per gram is using between a third and a twentieth as much substrate per kilogram of output as a precision fermentation producer expressing a single protein. That is not a difference of degree. Any comparison of fermentation costs that does not separate the two is comparing different industries. The same reconciliation failure we found when assembling capacity figures across four incompatible units. Alternative feedstocks and why substitution is slow. The obvious response to a feedstock bill is to buy a cheaper carbon source. GFI's October 2023 sidestreams analysis identifies the leading candidates: corn stover, soy straw, sugarcane trash and bagasse, barley straw and husks, and is unusually candid about why they have not displaced refined sugar. The technical barrier is that lignocellulosic material has to be broken down before it becomes fermentable, and the breakdown itself creates problems. Each sidestream lignocellulosic saccharification could produce compounds, such as phenolics and furfural, that could be inhibitory to cell culture. The report also notes that pentose sugars such as xylose are not consumed until glucose is exhausted in many organisms, so that fraction of the carbon is effectively paid for and wasted. The regulatory barrier is separate and slower. For upcycled ingredients that do not have a robust history of human consumption, it will be necessary to evaluate their allergenicity, toxicity, and other relevant safety metrics. A more radical answer is to leave sugar out entirely. Solar Foods has done exactly that. Its organism takes its carbon from carbon dioxide rather than from sugars, and the company has said publicly that in large installations, electricity becomes the dominant share of its production cost. That is a genuine escape from the sugar market. It is also a substitution of one commodity exposure for another, and electricity prices are no more stable than sugar prices. Practical consequence: treat sidestream feedstock as a research program with a regulatory dependency, not as a near-term procurement option. The inhibitor chemistry has to be solved per sidestream, and the food safety case has to be made per ingredient. One useful non-finding: GFI's model assumes the same substrate at the same price for both the food grade and the high purity tier. In other words, in that model, food grade output does not require a special grade of input sugar. The purity requirement is met downstream. We had expected food grade certification to constrain feedstock choice, and on this evidence it does not. The counter-argument. Two objections deserve stating properly. The first is that GFI's $0.60 per kilogram glucose assumption may simply be too low, in which case our 19% figure is too low as well. It is below the US refined sugar spot price in the table above, though, as flagged in the methodology note, that is a sucrose price rather than a glucose price, and dextrose from corn is not priced off the sugar program. If the true delivered glucose price is closer to $1.00 per kilogram, feedstock at 0.13 grams per gram becomes $7.69 per kilogram, or 32% of a $24 per kilogram unit cost. Still not half, but materially more than a fifth. Anyone modeling this should substitute their own delivered price, rather than trusting either figure. The second is that being the primary cost driver in just over half of published models is a perfectly reasonable thing for an industry to compress into feedstock, is half the cost, in conversation. The compression is wrong, but the underlying observation that feedstock is where cost reduction efforts most often get pointed is not. The third is the most serious, and it comes from GFI's own sensitivity analysis of a single-cell protein model. There, moving feedstock cost from a $0.40 per kilogram base to $0.56 per kilogram, a 40% increase, raises cost of production by 14.3%, while a 20% worsening of yield raises it by around 8%. Within one model at one operating point, in other words, feedstock price is not the minor term this article's framing might suggest. That is a fair correction to make. What it does not overturn is the cross-model finding. A 20-fold range in grams of product per gram of substrate, observed across the published literature, is a far wider spread than any plausible dispute about the price of a gram of substrate. Local sensitivity within one model and dispersion across many models are different questions, and the second is the one facing anyone deciding whether a process can work at all. What we could not establish: a current US wholesale price for dextrose or high fructose corn syrup per ton from the USDA series. The relevant workbook is a binary spreadsheet we could not pass, and we declined to substitute a commodity intelligence vendor estimate whose methodology is not published. This is the single biggest gap in this piece. It means the sucrose prices above cannot be converted into the glucose price the models actually use. Any fermentation protein company's disclosed feedstock cost or the identity of its sugar supplier. We look specifically and found none. That absence is consistent with the broader disclosure pattern in this sector. The current overquota, high tier, duty rate on US sugar imports. We could not source it from the USDA documents used here and have therefore not published a number for it. What lies behind the $0.60 per kilogram substrate assumption? The GFI Europe and Arthur D. Little report attributes it to industry interview / triangulation, which tells us it is drawn from what companies say they pay rather than from a published series, but not what contract terms, volumes or geography sit behind it. The exact percentage breakdown of raw materials in that report's own charts text extraction scrambled the chart labels, so we derived the share from the report's stated substrate cost and yield instead, which is shown above and can be checked.
What to watch?
Whether anyone publishes a delivered feedstock price, one company disclosing what it actually pays per ton, on what contract terms, would do more for this industry's credibility than another round of cost parity projections. Yield disclosures. Given that yield dominates the feedstock line by a factor of 20, a company that publishes grams of product per gram of substrate is telling you more about its economics than one that publishes a cost per kilogram without a boundary. US plant siting decisions. With the domestic raw sugar contract at roughly 2.5 times the world price, a fermentation plant choosing a US location is accepting a known and quantified input penalty. If US sited capacity keeps being announced anyway, that tells you feedstock is not the binding constraint, which is exactly what the numbers above suggest.